Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And we are back with our special guest, our daughter.
Hello.
Her name's Haley.
Oh, yeah. That's important.
All right. If you haven't listened to part one of this case, I highly suggest that you check that out first to get all the information up to now. We left off where they had found an iPhone in almost perfect condition in the grass. Grass that had been mowed very recently, and it was at the beginning of a search on Lake Marvin Road. Due to a backlog of work, the FBI wasn't able to process the phone until January of 2018, but they did verify that the phone did belong to Tom. Everyone agreed that the phone was planted there, but who planted it there was what was up for debate. The sheriff's department believes that the family had the phone the whole time, and they, or P.I. Klein, planted it to show that he was making progress in the case. The family believed that the person responsible for Tom's disappearance, or the police, planted it there. Some believe the authorities are covering up for someone who had something to do with the disappearance, but this was all amplified by more he said, she said mudslinging.
You see, on January 9th, 2017, at 6:30 p.m., Penny texted one of the friend's moms asking if they knew the passcode to Tom's phone. She said the police were requesting it. The sheriff's office denies ever asking for that passcode. The investigation of the phone shows that it went dead. It was not shut off. It went dead at 12:23 a.m. on November 24th and was not powered back on until the FBI processed it. That explains why Penny's text started coming back as undeliverable that night Tom missed curfew, but it doesn't clear up why any one of them would have been asking for this passcode over a month later.
If whoever was wanting the passcode hadn't even powered up the phone, why would they need the passcode? That doesn't make any sense.
It didn't make sense to me either, but like Haley pointed out during our break, she said that even if they had the phone and hadn't powered it up yet, they may have just been trying to get the passcode for when they did. And that makes sense.
Yeah, because if you're looking for the passcode and the phone is completely dead, what's the reason?
Right.
Other than the chance of turning it back on and seeing.
Very true.
And most phones nowadays, you know, they're face recognition and you don't even need a passcode.
Right.
That's true.
This was 2016, though. I don't know if they had facial recognition
then. True.
I don't even know why they were arguing about it. Unless whoever had it was trying to, like we said, access it and then realized that maybe they'd be caught or tracked. And so they just held on to it until they could dump it at a later date. In January of 2018, Penny and Moms for Tom petitioned for the case to be turned over to the Texas Attorney General's office. And this was one other thing that the sheriff agreed with. Hell, he wrote the Attorney General's office himself. Everyone involved was tired of all the back and forth, slander, and the all-around bullshit going between the two. I have not mentioned a lot of it, or this would be a six-day podcast, and it would get you nowhere.
In February, the AG Criminal Unit sent Sergeant Rachel Kading and Sergeant Chris Smith. One of the first things they wanted were lie detector tests to try and cut through the bullshit, but it didn't help. Penny and Chris went first. Penny showed deception when they asked if she had been communicating with Tom. She said no on the test, but when confronted by the AG investigators, she said that she periodically sent texts to Tom's phone after his disappearance. But it's not like she was getting texts back, so to her, that was not communicating. When they asked if she knew where Tom was, Penny said no, which they said was a lie too. Penny said the AG investigators immediately came into the room when the test was over and said she knew more than she was saying. They accused her of finding Tom's body after he ended his own life, and she moved the body due to embarrassment because her father had committed suicide at a campsite off of Lake Marvin Road when Penny was pregnant with Tom. She did not allow Tucker to take a polygraph, because she didn't like the way questions were worded or how she was treated after. Tucker doesn't believe in them anyway. Same here. I haven't said it before, but I will not take a polygraph. It's a stress test, not a truth test. They usually set you up to fail, and hearing how the questions were worded kind of just proves my point. Just ask Sheriff Lewis. He failed his polygraph, too.
They asked if he was involved in the disappearance of Tom. The sheriff thought they meant the actual disappearance of Tom. He said no. That showed deception. He said he was involved in the case, not the crime. So either he misunderstood the question or he knew more than what he was saying.
Yeah, they both said that the way they were wording these questions, it was like no matter what they said, it was up for interpretation. So they would take it as one meaning, whereas the people doing the lie detector test took it as a whole different side.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a trap.
And that's the whole point of a lie detector test. They word their questions to where it tries to trip you up and tries to make you nervous, tries to make you, you know, basically nervous.
And that goes to the point of it's a stress test, because then that raises your stress level and it's going to show more deception even when you're not being deceptive. I think they're bullshit. I will not take one.
Which is why they're not, they don't hold up in court.
100%. Yeah, so what's the point in even taking one?
Exactly.
Now, all these tests showed was that everyone was lying. Jump ahead to January 9th of 2019 at approximately 9:45 a.m., where Deputy Gregory Pine was on patrol. He was taking a little break and went down Lake Marvin Road. He apparently collects deer sheds or deer antlers and saw a deer trail heading off the road and into the field. He went into it to see if there were any antlers. When he went off the road a few hundred feet through a line of trees, he saw something white in a thicket. As he got closer, he saw eye sockets and teeth and knew it was a human skull. He immediately called it in. Also found in this area was a femur and several smaller bones, a pair of tennis shoes, pieces of blue jeans, and part of a driver's license. It was just enough to make out that the license belonged to Tom. And this is what gets me. Lake Marvin Road is around 12 miles long, and his remains were found almost at the end, so that's about 12 miles from where his phone was found. So let me map this out. I've seen the visual, but I'm going to try to make this to where y'all can understand my frustration. The phone was found at the beginning of this road, which is just up from where the car was found.
Which is by the water department, right?
Right. So you would pass the water treatment plant to hit this road. And so his phone was found at the beginning of this road. The backpack was not even halfway down that road. And his remains were found towards the end of the road. So why, when any of this stuff was found, did they not canvass the entire road? I do not understand this. As soon as one thing was found, I would have been out there, even if I was by myself, searching all along this road and then branching out into the neighboring fields. I know it's easy to say I would do this, and that if you haven't been in this situation, that you can't 100% tell what you would have done. But I would have been arrested for trespassing 1,000 times over that 2 years, if need be.
Exactly. I feel like that's something as a parent, if you found one thing, you know that they would be up and down that road.
Absolutely.
And now they've found two things prior to finding his remains. So now, exactly. And they're all in the same damn spot. Okay, I get heated, but it's for a reason. Because like I said, it's all they're all along this road and they are right on the edge of this road. They're all within 100 or so feet of the road.
They're literally right there.
You would trip over some of this shit if you were out there walking around. Ugh, I just get so mad.
Well, woosah. sorry.
Thanks, Annie.
Almost 2 weeks after Tom's remains were found, his friend Michael Castletine's stepfather, Jeff, ended his life in his vehicle at the rodeo grounds, which sparked rumors that Jeff and Tom had some type of relationship and that's why he committed suicide. But his suicide note did not mention Tom. Michael's mom said that he suffered from severe depression and thought the world was just a dark place. His asthma had also gotten worse lately, and he was complaining about all of his muscles not working, so more than likely, he was just tired mentally and physically of fighting the battle. Maybe Tom's death was just another reminder of the dark world he was talking about, or maybe it has nothing to do with Tom at all. Who knows?
And you never know what someone's going through. Mm-hmm. And Michael, you know, just lost two people he was close to, you know, within a couple of years of each other. You know, that takes a toll on a person.
Yeah, poor Michael. Mm-hmm. He was going through it. In August of 2019, The AG investigators called a meeting, including the sheriff's department, the family, Moms for Tom, the DA, and a few others. They said they were going to release a statement to the media saying that there was no viable evidence that there was foul play, so the investigation was suspended. They did answer some questions and gave a little information. Now, someone did record this, and I got to listen to some of this, and things got heated in this meeting between all of these players that are involved in this. But the search of Tom's phone showed that at 9:11 p.m. on Thanksgiving Eve, while cruising around with his friends, Tom had searched for suicide hotlines, but there was no evidence that he'd actually made a call to any of them. They didn't have enough evidence to show homicide or suicide, and P.I. Klein had performed his own luminol test on the Durango and showed multiple places that had blood, but the AG reports that the test was done incorrectly and that blood that was showing up was actually paint from where the students paint the streets for football games. His phone last pinged around midnight by the football field, but investigators said there aren't enough towers in the area to actually pinpoint a location accurately. So they're saying that you could be literally on the east side of town and your phone could ping on the west side of town because that would be the closest tower. Okay. So you couldn't get a like definitive area.
Okay.
Yeah. On November 15th, 2019, Sheriff Lewis resigned. The county attorney, who, according to Lewis, was already embarrassed about the slander and media reports about how Tom's investigation was being handled, found out that they were falsified reports showing the number of training hours of the sheriff and three other deputies. Lewis said it was a paperwork error, but they called for his resignation. The AG reports show this and more. They had actually shut down the sheriff's office for over 24 hours to do a search of like everything physically that they had, everything digitally that they had. They searched top to bottom. The family had said that they were shown a photograph of Tom at the gas pumps the night that he disappeared by Sheriff Lewis. Several people outside of the sheriff's office also saw this video still. But the camera that would have captured this video was facing the ground, and his report of the video wasn't written until January of 2018. The AG investigators found no evidence in their possession that would support the fact that the photo even existed. The AG's opinion is that the gas station video was mishandled, but criminal intent for tampering with the evidence could not be established.
So they think that the sheriff's office wasn't trying to conceal evidence to fit their story.
Right.
They just think they was sloppy.
That's what they're saying, yes.
Yeah.
But it can be construed in different ways.
I could see that.
Yeah. So I guess it all just depends on where you lie in this story as far as, like, what are you believing? Because this could fit right into the cover-up of the police station.
Very true, yeah. The theories and rumors in this case have been wild. From Penny and the family moving the body after suicide, the rumor that he's hiding in Colorado with an older gentleman, that on his way home that night he saw some kids at the high school football field parking lot and stopped to talk to them when one came up behind him with the gun, thinking it was not loaded, went to scare him, putting the gun to the back of his head, and it accidentally went off. And that this kid was the son of a prominent member of the community, so they called the sheriff, who told them to cover it up. To even a former teammate saying that the sheriff was involved in a high school football gambling ring and used Tom at the time to scare him into winning a game.
Now, I can talk to you about that a little bit, too. So, nobody believes this kid. This was actually Chris, the one that was on the team that got in trouble for busting a kid's eye socket. But he told this wild story because he's currently in prison for another crime. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, he said that, you know, they're on this football team and that there's this gambling ring of everybody in the area and they pretty much dictate whether they're going to win or lose the game, and that's how they bet. So they force these kids on the team to go to their narrative so that they win more money. So if they want them to lose, they take a dive. If they want them to win, they have to really, really hustle and win. But according to Chris, he said that he was taken by the sheriff, and that he took him out to the bridge and everything, and he put goggles over him or something where he couldn't see, drove him out to an undisclosed location. And when he took the blindfold off, in the headlights of the car, you could see Tom tied to a chair with one of the deputies next to him with a gun. And he told Chris that this is what would happen if he didn't win that next game, because then he would have lost a lot of money.
Really?
Yes. But nobody believed this story. So the AG and all of them say that this kid has told many different stories, and so his credibility is shot. But it just added a whole nother layer. Cause like I'm saying, there's so many rumors out there that we haven't put in here of stuff like this that's just wild.
I was about to say, because I don't know. He said a gambling ring having to do with a high school football team.
Right. And that may
that's
just
crazy to think.
Well, it's so big here, too. Like, is it that far out there that it couldn't
right,
be a possibility?
At this point.
You got a football stadium that holds more seating than there are people
have,
in
yeah.
the town. I don't know. They're practicing football on Thanksgiving. So, me personally, I don't really think that's what happened, but you never know.
I mean, at this point, you never know.
It's all up in the air. So, maybe the Attorney General's report that they released to the public will answer some of these questions. It was released in early of 2021. And I'll just break down what it says. So the urine, remember we talked about a urine mark being outside of the driver's side door of the Durango. They showed that it was tested by the University of Texas and yielded no results. The shell casing, they're saying it did not provide any forensic evidence. No latent prints could be identified on the casing, and the casing could not be tested further for DNA per DPS labs. The backpack. Nothing of forensic value found on the laptop that was in his backpack. The gun case that was found. Forensic testing by DPS. No profile could be obtained from hair samples found on the case. That's the first time that I'd seen that there were hair samples that they could have taken, but doesn't seem like it worked out. The blood evidence. So there were two small stains in the Durango positively identified as Tom Brown's blood. One swipe on the driver's side door, which they mentioned, and a small swipe in another area that will not be released. So this is part of that information that they keep close to the chest.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Neither contained a significant amount of blood, and the Durango was dusty. So they were having a lot of trouble trying to dust for prints because there was so much dust inside the Durango. But there was also no evidence of a recent cleaning. So should there have been a cleaning up of blood, you would have seen clean spots. So what they're saying is nobody tried to clean it up. And they did say that there was paint found in the Durango. Both yellow and red paint were found. And then they repeat that the PI's luminol test was not correctly, and that his luminol test missed that second swipe of blood that they will not say where it's at. His iPhone. So Apple indicates his iCloud account did not contain data that is commonly backed up, such as iMessages and photographs. It is of interest because IP logs and data access logs were blank. Facebook indicates his Facebook page had been removed. Per the Facebook rep, removing a Facebook account can only be done with an account holder's password. And this is where they put in the search that there was a search for the suicide hotline at 9/11 and that the phone died at 12:23 and that it was not shut off. The phone had power again when powered on by the FBI after discovery October 2017. Almost perfect condition. Moisture indicators had not been activated. So that tells me that it had not been outside that whole time.
Exactly.
The area where the phone was found was recently mowed and had been mowed several times over the summer. Hemp Hill County received approximately 26 inches of rain from November 24th of 2016 to 10/14 of 2017. So when Tom went missing to when they found the phone. There was also a severe ice storm on January 15th of 2017. Forensic evidence shows that it is likely that the charging case was on the phone the night of his disappearance. However, that charging case was not on the phone when it was found on the side of the road. There was a plug-in event earlier in the evening while Tom was at home. So they're saying that since there was a plug-in event, but no unplug event, that means he didn't plug his phone into a charger and then unplug it. That means he put the case on the phone and it started charging. So then it wasn't removed again
okay.
until after the phone died. which is super odd.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Right. Plus, his friend said that he was super religious about keeping his phone charged and always had the charging case on his phone.
I mean, teenagers. That's just how teenagers are.
Like, yeah, you can't miss something. I mean, dang.
Exactly.
Plus, he had a charging cord in the Durango, so he could have really charged his phone or his case anytime, but still went dead. So his remains. Skeletal remains discovered on 1-9-19 by Pine Gregory, former Hemp Hill County deputy, at approximately 9:45 a.m. while on duty. 2-12-19, other remains, though not all remains, discovered by OAG search. Comminuted fracture of the posterior maxillary, yep, that's the word, maxillary socket for teeth 8 to 10, consistent with a blunt force trauma impact to the anterior teeth, but no determination could be made if the trauma occurred perimortem or early in the postmortem stage. Scavenging unlikely the cause. Zygomatic arch and greater wing of the sphenoid, skeletal damage consistent with blunt force trauma that may have resulted from a single application of force. Neither post or early perimortem can be excluded as the cause of damage. Now, I don't speak medical, but I went to Dr. Google, who said all of this area is basically the upper part of your mouth. The sockets 8 through 10 are your two front teeth, and then the one directly to the left of your two front teeth. The cheekbone up by the outer corner of your eye and back towards your temple area. So that's where they're talking about this damage occurred. So there was damage there, but they can't tell if it was done before he died or if maybe he died standing up and fell, hitting his head on something. Or maybe if his body was put out there, maybe he was dropped and it damaged the side of his face. Either way, none of the damage was fatal.
I do notice no mention of a gunshot, like, in the skull.
Right.
The AG investigative team did ask UNT if there could have been a gunshot into the head through the base of the neck without any evidence on the skull. The opinion is that it did not occur because there would have been other indicators.
Right. So basically, if he had died of a gunshot, they're saying it was not to the head or neck, that it would have had to been to his body somewhere. And since they don't have a body to look at, they really don't know. They cannot determine a cause of death. But it is odd that he had all this trauma to the side of his face, but basically the temple to the eye and then the top part of his mouth. So that is odd. And that's where we are today. Nowhere. Now, I do want to mention that his friend Christian now works as a forensic scientist with the Department of Public Safety, which is super cool. She said she wants to help people in a way that Tom wasn't helped, which I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while we're at the end of the case, because it's still ongoing, there are a bunch of issues that I want to bring up. So, why was there a shell casing inside of the Durango, but no evidence that a gun was used inside the car? Why, with all the theories and accusations, have I not heard that maybe it was planted? I mean, maybe it's something they haven't released to the public, but I haven't even heard that this might be a theory, that someone had put it in there to maybe throw somebody off.
No, they had a million theories, but not once was this, like, super obvious. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Where did it come from?
This random casing, and nobody's like, oh yeah, he was probably shot.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, nothing.
They did have a theory about him being shot, but it was only in the head.
Oh yeah, his gambling ring.
No, not only that, like the kid that came up behind him that was playing with the gun and at the football field. So they're saying that maybe that happened and he was accidentally shot, but that theory was that he was shot in the back of the head while he was sitting in the driver's seat of the Durango.
Yeah, my only thing with that is he wasn't in the vehicle. There were no like tracings of that gun being shot near the vehicle or in the vehicle. So it's just like, why would you put the casing in the vehicle afterwards?
Exactly. And like we said, a 25 caliber does not do a lot of damage. So there wouldn't have been a lot of blood, but I would think there'd be more than two little swipes.
Right.
So that's one problem I have. And As Darren said, since the caliber is not as common as most, were all the players in this story checked to see if they had one registered to them or someone in their family had one registered to them?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just that right there should have been the first thing. It's like if they found a 25 caliber shell casing, everybody that they interviewed or interrogated or anything like that, whether they was of interest or not,
right?
They should have done a run and said, you know, do they have this type of gun registered?
Yeah, and at this point, it's been so many years that if you did have it, you had plenty of time to get rid of it.
Of course.
So now they've lost that chance. And then who deleted his Facebook? One report said that Penny said the PI did it, but the PI said he did not delete his Facebook.
My only thing with that is, with this kid being a teenager, his whole life is on Facebook, especially in 2016.
Right.
Facebook's like one of the only ways you can express yourself in 2016.
Yeah, Instagram wasn't as big. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my, they could have turned it, memorial pages were big. They could have turned it into a memorial page for him, but instead somebody just wiped the whole thing.
The whole thing. So. The whole thing. Plus, Tom and Tucker shared an iCloud account, and there's very little of Tom's data on it, whereas Tucker has thousands of photographs, messages, all kinds of data on there. So my question is, can you delete certain things like that that can't be traced? Like some things I know you can delete off your phone, but then they can go back and say, right, I see you deleted this 6 years ago. You know what I mean?
There's always a trash folder.
Can they? Most people do not clear out that trash folder. Yep. People, clear your trash. But that's my other question. Like, can he, but can you also go through on something like your iCloud account and just delete certain things and leave everything else fine? I'm sure you can, I guess. I'm sure
someone has a way, but I don't know. I'm not going all like out of my way to do that. You know, that's just the extra mile.
So it's suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know like on my iCloud and everything, whenever I do a backup on my phone, the only thing that's backed up on iCloud is contacts and music.
Right.
And right.
There's no pictures that are backed up. There's none of that stuff.
Yeah. And I would need like my 6-year-old nephew to come and teach me how to do that because I don't even do that.
But I mean, that's literally the only
your
thing.
Your daughter couldn't even tell you how to do that.
Yeah. But I mean, that's literally the only thing that I have on my iCloud.
Right. Right. See, that's just another odd thing. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that maybe the gun was destroyed or dumped somewhere if he was, in fact, shot somewhere on his body, since they know it wasn't the head. But what about his keys and wallet? Like, will wild hogs eat keys?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm just like, man, I don't know.
They eat a lot of things. Like, they'll eat a whole body except the teeth. But right. I really don't see them eating metal like that. No. Like, they're not goats. I don't even think goats would eat a key. But so where's his keys? They found all this other stuff. They found his part of his driver's license. So it had to come out of the wallet at some point. So something damaged the wallet. Where's the rest of the wallet?
And that's another thing for me is his laptop. They found his whole laptop in his bag. Mm-hmm. If I don't know how to explain it. Social media.
Yes.
This kid is literally a kid. He's going to be all over that laptop on all of his social media accounts as well. So why? Right.
Unless he was a good boy and only used it for school stuff.
I guess.
He was a pretty decent
his
kid.
His mom was very religious, so there's a good chance she was going through it.
Yeah, that's highly likely, too. Yeah. That's highly likely, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they're portraying him as some kid that liked to go out and party.
Yeah, that's true.
Not really.
Oh,
well, he liked to hang out. And
yeah, he liked to cruise with his friends and stuff, but he really wasn't a partier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had friends that were. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
I gotcha.
But he was more of like the good kid who, you know, did all the, I mean, he was involved in 4-H stuff, theater stuff. He gave speeches. Mm-hmm. Like, he was doing everything.
Yeah.
And then another thing is, did they ever test that one shoe and the pieces of clothes that they found near his phone? Because they don't have any reports of that. And maybe they did, and that wasn't in public information either. But I want to know,
right?
I mean, what would they teach? What would they test it for?
To see if they were his, because this was found with his phone before his remains were found.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but they found a pair of shoes.
Was this at the same time they found the skull and stuff?
Nope, this was like a year before they found the skull.
So this was way before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was about, I mean, it was several miles up that road.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd think like the parent would have known, yeah, that's my kid's shoe.
Yeah, but they don't talk about it. Huh. They don't talk about
that's
it.
That's true.
And they found a pair of tennis shoes with his remains. So where did that one shoe, the only thing I can think of is that it didn't belong to anything. It was just something that was thrown out maybe or had been there for years.
Or maybe it fell out of somebody's car.
This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe it fell out of somebody's car.
How many times have we looked at these stories where people accidentally drop stuff at a crime scene?
Yep.
Because you're not paying attention to what you're kicking out. You're focusing on, you know, getting rid of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I don't get. If you're going to commit suicide because you're embarrassed about a fetish that you have, why tell people about the fetish before you commit suicide? I mean, is it a testing the waters for like approval or denial kind of thing? That's the only thing I could think of.
That's also tricky. It's like, it maybe if he did commit, it mm-hmm. could have been from a negative reaction.
That's what I thought too.
From
yeah.
multiple people, you know?
If he was getting pushed back like, oh, dude, that's gross or sick or you know how kids
that
are.
Can, yeah, that can affect a kid.
If he's already feeling bad about it and then he knows he's not going to be accepted when if he does, you know, try to be open about it. That
right.
Yeah, that's definitely.
And kids, okay, I'm going to say this. Kids are mean.
Kids are.
Okay, so you know that if he told somebody, there's a very good chance he got bullied for that.
Yes, kids are assholes. Mm-hmm. And that's another theory that I have is that maybe it was a fight. Like maybe somebody was making fun of him or something and he got into it with somebody. Yep. Have they looked into this?
See, these are theories that if they had said this, I would have been like, oh, that's kind of legitimate. There are some things that they've just made, like the older gentleman in Colorado. Why?
Where'd he come from?
Who is he?
Because
drop his name in the comment right now.
Because Nathan is a teenager. So if they think he's down there with Nathan, because they think that Christian and Nathan knew each other.
Yeah.
And that Christian introduced Tom to him and that Tom went to Colorado. And Tom has been using Nathan's phone to talk to Christian secretly so that they don't get suspicious that it's him. But where'd the older guy come in?
That's, yeah.
They're all teenagers. I mean, you're older now, but. And then that's another thing. Why did they think he might be gay? And another, you know, unreleased information question. But there was nothing released anywhere or talked about in any of these that say why they went that direction.
That's true. Yeah.
And they did do interviews with his mom and asked her about this. And she comes off as having very strict Christian beliefs in that being a sin. So if they did have something concrete pointing in that direction, I could understand how he would feel like he would not be accepted maybe by his parents.
I could see that.
Yeah. And so that leans towards the suicide angle. Like if he knew he couldn't be himself for his fetish, he knew he couldn't be himself if he was gay, then what's the point?
What I think though, I mean, is that if he came out to his parents
mm-hmm.
that he was gay, I'm not saying he was or wasn't.
Right.
But if they are true Christians,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to accept him.
But this is the line, because if they're devout Christians, they will not, because that is a sin.
I don't care. That's your kid.
I know that's how you feel. So if you had listened to this interview with Penny, you would get this feeling or realization that she is more devout Christian than anything else. So she kind of puts off that air of, they were like, what if he did come to you? What if he did come out? And she said, well, it wouldn't be something to hurt him over. And that I understand. But they would have to have a long talk about how big of a sin this is in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah, I ain't about it.
Well, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And they think one of the theories, like Haley said, is that he did commit suicide. Penny found him, and that Penny and someone else helped her move the body because they couldn't take that shame. But I also can't see a mother putting her son out in a field for years and letting his body be scavenged just because she wants to save some face. So I have a hard time believing that as a mom.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I don't believe that that's even any kind of theory.
Right. It's really hard to wrap your brain around as a parent.
No.
And then my last point. So if Sheriff Lewis had to resign from mishandling evidence and incorrect reporting, if Sheriff Lewis had to resign from mishandling evidence and incorrect reporting, what else could he have done? He explains it all away, of course, but it casts doubt on everything he touched while he was in office.
Exactly.
True. I mean, you know, if he was doing sloppy work, I mean, sounds like they made him do the right thing.
Yeah, but this just leads, remember that other led the direction of the suicide? This leads the direction of a cover-up.
Yeah, but I mean, they was also trying to lead him that he was gay, too.
This is what I'm saying.
I mean, it's just there's so many damn different ways that they was trying to lead this shit. And what does it all boil down to? That there was a freaking gambling ring?
Nobody believed that story.
But I'm just saying, I mean, is that what it all boils down to? Is that good this question. Is just big-ass gambling ring that somebody was trying to cover up?
Right.
There's just so much that stacks up and just, yeah. It just keeps getting more and more ridiculous.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then you see something like this where he is forced to resign. Or was he forced to?
Yeah.
Okay. Where he's forced to resign for mishandling evidence, but he is also the one who has been giving us all this specific information.
All of this. Yes.
So it's, ugh.
And there was some, like I said, I didn't put everything in here because there was so much back and forth. But like a good point to that is they said that morning when they were out looking between 4 and 6 a.m. that Tucker was with one of the deputies and they were riding around so that Tucker could show him where the friends lived so that they could go and question them later. And the deputy says, no, he wanted to come with us. We didn't ask him to come with us. And then the deputy said that as they passed by where the Durango was found later, that Tucker made it a point to point out that the gate was open. And so I'm like, what the hell? Like, who's telling the truth
here?
So
now they're trying to say that Tucker
Was involved
in this?
Yes.
That's his brother, right?
That's his brother, yes. And then to the other side, when I asked about them not searching all the way down Lake Marvin Road, when they were finding stuff at the beginning and almost at the middle of this road, why did they not keep looking? The family and the volunteers and people that were out there said that there were deputies down there that were keeping them from going all the way down the road. So,
oh, goodness.
Each person is saying that the other people on the other side of the fence are blocking them from seeing things or pointing them in certain directions. And so there's, like I said, I couldn't put all that in here because it just adds so much cloud to this case, and it doesn't change anything. We're still exactly where we started. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because poor Tom.
Which, I mean, you know, I know the guy's in prison,
Chris.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did have a story.
He supposedly had a lot of stories.
But supposedly he had, like, details.
He did have a lot of details.
Yes. And they just kind of brushed it off.
Everybody, even the attorney general, yes.
So, I mean, maybe you shouldn't brush it off. I mean, yeah, I understand that this guy's probably known for lying or whatever, you know. But, I mean, what's he got to lose? He's already in jail.
They want everybody to take polygraph tests. Why not give him one?
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, we all failed, but
he'd probably fail too. But what if he passed?
True.
I mean, he literally has nothing to lose.
Yeah, he's in like a 30-year stretch.
Yeah, so he's not going nowhere.
No. Yeah. I mean, I know he tells stories, but it's, what if he has details about something that nobody knows about?
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what if his story about the gambling ring is what boiled this whole thing up? I mean, it was what the whole thing was about.
Like I said, it's not too far-fetched. Once you see how football-oriented this town is.
They practiced on Thanksgiving Day.
What else are you going to do in that little town?
Mm-hmm.
Besides bet on the football games. Yep. I mean, I could see it.
Yep. I could see it.
So all I know is this is another one of those cases where people say sometimes you have to come in and clean the whole thing off and start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
They need somebody to come in. I mean, you've got FBI. They've been involved. Texas Rangers have been involved. Attorney General's been involved. Everybody's been involved.
Like everybody's had their hands on the case.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like too many is. And everybody's had their opinions about it,
yes.
too.
Yep. There are so many theories. But you just can't focus.
But they don't want to listen to one guy.
No. Oh, no. He's crackpot.
So what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the crackpots have the most information.
I mean, you never know.
Just saying.
We've seen cases get solved with less.
Like I said, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Go test him now.
What are you going to lose?
And they did actually, in 2021, the Attorney General, Rachel, had come back into town and everybody was getting excited because she literally came like for 3 months, not straight, but she'd come and leave and then come back a couple months later and leave, come back a couple months later and leave. And everybody's like, what is she doing? Why is she here? And every time she would come, she would investigate some or interview somebody. And what she was doing, she later came out and said that they were looking at putting together a grand jury. Another wonderful idea.
Yes.
But she said that you really need to have something a little more concrete, something that you're going towards, like a more plausible theory. And then you can start getting indictments and things like that after a grand jury. So since they didn't have anything of substance to go off of, she didn't want to ruin the chances of future indictments by clouding it up or tearing it up now. So they've been actually waiting this whole time before they even do a grand jury. But I think they need to go on and get in there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll come up with some new info and we can revisit this one later on.
I would love to do an update on this.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today on this part two episode of Tom Brown.
Thank Haley for coming in.
Yep. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.